There are several truths that can be discerned from this passage in today's gospel. The woman, a Canaanite woman, was from a culture that was completely depraved. Indeed, often we see in the Old Testament reference to a culture that would even consume its own youth because it was pockmarked by the vice of cannibalism. And so it was a truly depraved culture. Indeed, it is the very reason why the Lord told the chosen people when they entered into the land of Canaan to destroy all the inhabitants there. But many of the chosen people, and especially the leaders, would refuse to listen to the Lord, and so they would not carry out that order in its fullness. And so, throughout the history of the chosen people, we would see the era of the Canaanite people coming into the land of the chosen people. So we first learn that there is a demonic culture, and indeed, this Canaanite woman came from that culture. But we also learn that in the depths of her heart, she desired deliverance from it. And so, unlike the chosen people, she was looking for one to deliver her. And she began to believe in him before she even first see him. For word would first come to the land of Tyre and Sidon of the miracles and the wonders that this Jesus was working, so that when he visited there, she would approach him with earnestness and desire, as is pointed out by her crying out in a loud voice. But more importantly, this woman teaches all what true and authentic prayer is, for she begins by an act of humility. That is, when the Lord refers to her as a dog, she does not argue with him or even deny it. She simply points out that even the dogs eat the fallings from the tables of their masters. And so she begins her prayer with that profound reality that we must all have, that we are creatures and God is God, and there can be no likeness between us in that sense. Second, she prays with a great faith, for she had recognized Christ to be the Messiah even before his presence before her. She has great modesty, that is, she leaves the healing to Christ. How often we see in many prayer movements this virtue of modesty violated. Indeed, it has gotten to the point where in many forms of what is known as the charismatic movement, we see demanding of the Lord extraordinary gifts of a mystical nature. It is truly a lack of modesty not seen in this woman who came from a land that would even consume its youth, a land much like our own land. For we have become very sophisticated, but we are practicing the same vices that the Canaanites practice. And so often we do not imitate this woman in her humility, her faith, and her modesty. She also approaches the Lord with great prudence and exhibits an extraordinary amount of reverence. For when first her petition is refused, she gets on her knees and begs the Lord, or as the apostles would point out, she pesters the Lord, but they do not know the difference at this time between true reverence and pestering. And she prays with great resignation. She does not demand from the Lord the deliverance of her daughter. She merely tells the Lord the nature of her problem and her desire. She does not demand, as often we demand in our prayers, that the Lord does this thing or that thing for us. And she prays with great confidence. She knows that the Lord can work this wonderful thing that she desires, and she has complete confidence that whatever God does, she will accept it. She prays with a great ardor. She prays with great charity. For the woman approached the Lord not motivated by a self-love, but motivated by that parental love in which she loves her daughter often more than daughters love their mothers. For it is an unfortunate law, especially of our modern times, that parents will often love their children more than their children love their parents. But by this, we cannot abandon charity. We must always love God above all things and our neighbor as ourselves for God's sake. And so she exercises the greatest of charity. And then she finally exercises that virtue necessary for prayer, that is, perseverance, for how many of us would have immediately abandoned the request and the prayer the minute the Lord accused us of being a dog? We would have fled and gone back to the leeks and the onions of Egypt. And so she shows herself to be a true model of prayer and one who is resigned to accept all things from the hands of God. And today we celebrate the memorial of St. John Marie Vianney, who showed himself also a man of prayer, and most especially that virtue by which he had complete resignation in the divine dispositions. For often in our prayer, we seek consolation and we seek mystical gifts, but that is not the nature of prayer, for the nature of prayer is to lift our minds and our hearts to God, to always think of him and his ways. But if we wish and desire true mystical gifts, let us look at the lives of the saints like St. John Marie Vianney and St. Pio of Pietrelcina. They truly had the highest of mystical gifts, but how many of us, in learning of these mystical gifts, would desire or even think of asking the Lord for them in prayer? For amongst the many extraordinary gifts that St. John Marie Vianney was blessed with was the most extraordinary mystical gift of having the pleasure of being beat up by Satan himself almost on a nightly basis, a true mystical gift, and yet one that was really concrete. And he never once asked the Lord to take it away, for he knew all things came from God. And because he had true faith and a supernatural outlook, he realized that all the times that he was beaten, and according to the violence of the beating, a soul would come to him the next day requesting to be delivered from the devil by the exercise of the sacrament of penance. And so he had a truly supernatural outlook and would accept this most extraordinary gift from the hands of the Lord as part of the penance necessary for him to claim souls from the kingdom of Satan, and thereby again making them children of the kingdom of God. And so let us take as a model for our lives, and especially for our prayer lives, this Syrophoenician woman, St. John Marie Vianney. Let us no longer beseech the Lord for those things that bring us consolation, thinking that we are truly, as it were, mystical and lovers of God, when truly we are only showing that we are lovers of ourselves, for we do not seek the true penances that help and cooperate with the mission of Christ, but we seek those extraordinary gifts, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, and all such other things. In one sense, it is true nonsense, not because God does not give these gifts, but there are those who think, because they come to prayer and demand these gifts of God, when they receive them, they receive, as it were, the consolation of God, but often they are deceived. I am reminded of the story of a missionary who had a friend who was curious about the charismatic movement at one time. When he went, he was a priest. And so he went not because he wished to, but in order to simply be there for his friend. And during that prayer meeting, he grabbed his friend and told him, "We must immediately leave." And when they got outside, he asked him why, and the priest replied, "That language is no mystery to me. It is an ancient language that was spoken in very rare and tucked away regions in Lebanon. And what they were doing was praising the devil. And that is precisely because they came together, not in humility, but in pride, demanding from the Lord those extraordinary gifts that he and he alone gives, not at the request of the one making the prayer, but by his own dispositions. And often those gifts are given not in this fashion, but primarily during the holy sacrifice of the Mass. For many of the saints who received extraordinary mystical gifts received them not by demanding them from the Lord, but by humble submission to him, especially in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Indeed, that most extraordinary outpouring of these gifts, that is, on the day of the Pentecost, was precisely done within the context of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so, let us not strive for that which is extraordinary, but let us rather, like this Syrophoenician woman, pray to the Lord for the ordinary acts of charity and the graces necessary for us to persevere. And if the Lord so chooses to lift some up and bless them with mystical gifts, let us pray that they accept them in a spirit of humility, because they were given not to draw souls to self, but in order to draw souls to Christ. And so this woman, by her witness, draws souls to Christ, not merely those souls from the land that she came from, but this day the pagan woman helps the apostles themselves enter deeper and deeper into the mystery of prayer, for she teaches them what true perseverance and true humility is. And so she shows them to be wrong in requesting that the Lord send her away. And this day they are strengthened and their prayers become more powerful. And so let us take the example given to us through Scripture and through the lives of the saints. Let us desire nothing on this earth except the grace of God, and most especially that most extraordinary of graces, the grace to persevere. Once we have received the love of the Lord in baptism and have had that restored through the sacrament of confession, if it has been necessary in our lives, let us always pray in that spirit of humility by which we know there is nothing we can do on our own to persevere in the love of God, but it is by His grace. And then let us go forth, showing Him by all that we say and all that we do, striving to think holy thoughts, that is, thoughts of the Lord in His most holy Mother, so that like this Syrophoenician woman, we can teach, but can teach in the manner that she taught. She did not think herself a teacher of the apostles. It was because of her extraordinary love of the Messiah that this day she did teach them, and in teaching them, she has taught us all the model and an example of true prayer, because this day she shows herself a woman who is imitating that woman who was foretold of old, that woman who was always united by God by prayer. This day she truly imitates the Immaculate Virgin Mary and beseeches the Lord on behalf of her daughter, and hence on behalf of all the peoples from that land. That prayer would be answered in a most extraordinary way when the apostles would turn from the chosen people and enter into the Gentile and pagan worlds, and there they labor till this day to bring all souls there to the kingdom of Christ, before that final time when the efforts of the church will turn earnestly to the chosen people of old, so that the message of Christ may again burn in the hearts of all men and all women throughout this world. And so let us strive always to serve Him who in serving us offered His life for our sake. And we must always remember that our Lord's service is not one of a servant, but our Lord serves us precisely by becoming our master and our deliverer. And so let us always seek refuge in the Sacred Heart of Jesus by entreating Him through the Immaculate Heart of Mary.